Jack Bird goes at the line now and gets his hands free for Wade Graham, who takes a fantastic tackle. Jason Nightingale with a try saver. Townsend at dummy half hurls the ball widely across field. Flicked on by Bird to Fecky, and Cronulla claim a try.
They do, and they're felled on a couple of times, and one at the death that can serve them well, particularly late in the season. Paul Gallen, good morning.
Hey, guys.
Well done, mate. You got there, 18-14.
Yeah, it's a good game, but we got there, and as we know, we're not playing real well. We're not completing real well, but at the end of the day, we're up in second spot on the ladder, and our defence is outstanding, and I think there's one thing that you can't coach, and that's the desire to win or effort throughout the whole game. Coaches can't coach that, and we've got that in spades at the moment. So I think that's the most pleasing thing for Flano. And once we fix our ball control and even our penalties, we still lost the penalty count 7-4. I think we can only get better.
A lot to be said for winning ugly.
Yeah, there is, and as I said, people are bagging us and saying we are winning ugly and all the rest of it. But
you're winning.
Yes, that's exactly right. There'd be 13 or 14 other teams in spots of us. I guarantee you that. So we're, as I said, you can't coach the effort and just the enthusiasm to keep scrambling for each other, and that's what we're doing really, really well. And if you keep that attitude up throughout the whole year and you improve in other areas, it's only going to be a positive year.
They were missing a couple of key players. One bloke might end up on your doorstep. Josh Dugan, what are you hearing? Is he coming to the Sharkies?
Oh, I'm only hearing what you guys are hearing. I sort of stay out of that side of it, but I think he'd be a massive plus for our club. I think he's a great player, obviously, and he's a good person too. I like Dugan, so get on well with him, and I think he'd fit in our club really, really well. And obviously with Jack Bird leaving, I think he'd be the ideal replacement. I think the way he played that test match the other night before he got injured, I thought his defence was just outstanding. And I think he'd fit well, but that's a decision for Dukes to make. I haven't spoken to him or the club about it at all.
Gal, Origin just around the corner. Squad will be announced next week, and just like every year, mate, when everyone wanted you in there, they want you still in there.
Oh, it's funny. I mean, last year I remember there was a fair few people that didn't want me there. And this year there's talk about me coming back. But, that won't be happening. I certainly haven't spoken to Laurie, and I haven't put my hand up. I said all along, if Laurie needs me and he thinks there's a need for me to play, I'll be there without a doubt. But, I haven't spoken to anyone at all, and I'd be quite confident that I won't be picked next week, and I'm quite happy with that. As I said, last year there's people that didn't want me, this year there's people that want me, and I just think that I've had my time there. I've won a series, I've done everything I could for New South Wales just to hold the fort while these young guys come along, and I think I've done that really well, and a lot of them guys that are going to be picked this year have been in the system for at least 12 months now, if not 2 years. And I was a part of that, bringing them through. And fingers crossed they can take over now. And I really think if they can win that first game up at Suncorp, they'll win the series.
Who plays seven and who plays nine?
Nine is a question I can't answer. I don't know. I said from the start of the season, I think Robbie Farah deserves to stay there. But when you look at his game, he's only been playing 40 to 50 minutes a game, I think. You probably don't quote me on that, but I don't think he's playing much more than sort of 50 minutes a game. So I think if you pick Robbie Farah, you've probably got to pick another hooker there, and whether they want to do that, I'm not too sure. But I think the seven is Mitchell Pearce. I don't think there'll be any doubt for that. He's played really well all season and deserves his spot. There's no halfback playing better than him at the moment, I don't think, personally.
I know Ricky Stewart came out with that famous quote about saying the halfback owns the result, but you'd swear that Mitchell Pearce is the only bloke who played in all those losing Origin series. Everybody blames him and him only.
Yeah, well, certainly not from a team point of view, and I think that's the main thing Mitchell needs to worry about. We know that when we played in those games, the whole team, the coaching staff and everyone knows it's a team effort, it's a team result. Mitchell certainly did got the brunt of all the attacks from the journalists and the public, but I think deep down he knows it's not all his fault. In some ways, I agree with Ricky a fair bit. The game management in Origin is just so important. Yes. I think that's been the difference in some tight games over the past 10 years. When you look at their spine, they've gone from Cronk first and Smith. Before that, they had Lockyer there. So, I mean, they do have enormous control there, and that is a position where New South Wales, we need them players to play their best game. We need Jimmy Maloney and Mitchell Pearce, if he's there, to play their best game. Because I think right across the park, everywhere else, the Blues will more than match them, if not beat them. But we need them blokes to play their best game on the Wednesday night. So if they do that, New South Wales will win.
Gal, is there anyone we're not thinking about that you think should be in the squad?
No, I don't think so, to be honest. I think everyone's sort of on the mark where it's at the moment. As I said, I think these young forward, I mean, I think the right and the left edge back rows are another position that's up for grabs. I mean, I think the players are there, but they all, for their club size, Wade Graham plays left edge, Boyd Cordner plays left edge, Tyson Frizzell plays on an edge, and so does Josh Jackson. But one of them's going to have to move to the middle, I believe, which I don't think is a big issue for guys like Frizzell or Josh Jackson. I think either one of them could move to the middle quite easily. But then, you know, who plays on the right edge? If Josh Jackson plays in the middle, he's usually right edge back row. I mean, I know Wade Graham will put his hand up every day of the week to do that. So, but as far as players being spoken about, I think everyone who's been spoken about is playing well enough. And I think they'll be there and deserve to be there.
Which back row would make the easier transition to play on the right instead of the left? Graham or Cordner?
Tell
our listeners and viewers, if you can, Gal, the big difference. You're not capable of playing on the other side of the field?
You know what? The problem is, it's just what you're used to these days. And the thing is, the way that the game is designed these days as a youngster coming through, you generally are slotted into a right or a left edge. So it's just what you're so used to, the way you carry the ball, the way the defenders come at you. If you're on the left edge, they usually come at you from the right-hand side of your body line. I mean, it's just, if you just do the same thing week in, week out, you do become pretty accustomed to it. So it can be an issue for some players. I mean, look at Ryan Hoffman. Ryan Hoffman would not play anywhere else but on the left edge. That's the only place he plays. I mean, that's a bit of an example there. But Boyd Cordner, the way he plays, he just charges. He just runs hard and straight all day, direct, runs that line off the half wheel. So I think he could probably switch to the right edge quite comfortably, whereas Wade's got a lot more skill about him. He's got that left foot kicking game, which standing on the left hand side of the field makes it a whole lot easier to kick if you're a left footer. He's got a lot more ball movement in him, so I think Wade, you know, would probably be more suited on the left, and you could easily switch Boyd Cordner on the right. But that's a decision for them to make.
And Gal, I just want to ask you about the tackle in the air of Tom Trbojevic. You would have seen that.
Yeah, I did see it, and it's just an unfortunate situation. And, you know, it wasn't against the rules, but I heard about the tweet that the Broncos put in. I thought, yeah, that was really insensitive and pretty ordinary by the Broncos. But look, I don't think it was their club. But usually the people who do that is a couple of young kids up in the marketing department just throwing out tweets to cause a bit of a stir. So I don't think the Broncos, I suppose the club will cop it, and they deserve to cop it. But, I mean, those youngsters have probably been reprimanded, I'd say. But it's just a sad situation happened. He's been playing so well. He's probably been one of the best players in the competition all year. Would have made his Origin debut without a doubt, but now he'll be out for, 6 weeks. So, look, all in all, it wasn't against the rules, but it's probably something the NRL will look at in the future.
Yeah, unfortunate incident. There's no doubt about that. He's out for 8 weeks. At least that's not the season. Gal, Slats gave you an awful time regarding that dive with Aaron Woods.
Oh, give over.
What did you...
You just didn't let up.
What did you... Mate, it wasn't a dive. That's the thing.
Well, that's what I said, Gal. TK wouldn't let it go.
Hey, mate, what did you make of the Daily Cherry Evans Logie performance?
I didn't see the...
Oh, come on.
I didn't. I'm telling you, I saw the one of the halfback on... Thursday night, I think, from the Cowboys. Now, I thought the first one, Josh Jackson did clip his leg and he just fell over. I don't think he took the dive there. But the second one, I think he did fall over, but he actually jammed it on the back row. So it was his fault, it was his decision. But the referees ended up pinning them for the pass being behind the block runner. The Daly Chavins one, I didn't see. I'm being honest. I did read about it. And I heard Wayne Bennett did laugh about it, but I didn't see it. But then I saw the comment saying that at the end of the day, the back row render is outside shoulder.
Yeah.
Now, if he did, it's a penalty. We're trained. We're spoken to every week about this. You know, generally the block runner or the back rower, his job is to run at the halfback.
Yeah.
Now, we are told week in, week out, you cannot run to his outside shoulder. You have to run to his inside shoulder, because if you run to his inside shoulder and he doesn't come in on you, you get the ball, you make the break. If he comes in on you and jams in on you like they do and hits you with his inside shoulder, that's done your job. They pass out the back, you get a 3-on-2 situation. Now, if he's run on his outside shoulder and made contact with him, unfortunately, it's a penalty. But that's just the way it works.
Mm. Mm. I think you got to hand over the Logie.
Oh, fair enough. Well, I'll hand it over.
Although Danny took it back anyway, didn't he?
Yeah, he did take it back off me.
Well done, Gal.
Good
luck against the Cowboys, mate.
Thanks, guys. See you later.
Well done. Sharkies $1.48, Cowboys $2.65. They're hosting the Cowboys Thursday night, so it'll be a 7:50 start.